Okay, we're on page 18 in the Song Chumash and Parshas Bereishis. Okay, last thing, we started learning this one part, so we're going to start it again. Okay, basically, Hashem is punishing the snake. He cursed the snake. He cursed the ground that we're going to get to. And the woman, he said, okay, because you instigated this whole thing, you're going to have problems raising kids and having childbirth and all that pain. And Adam, he said, La Adam Amar, top of the page of 18, Pasuk Yud Zayin. La Adam Amar, and to Adam he said, Ki shamate l'kol yishtachot, because you listen to your wife, and not, like last week we were discussing the concept of peer pressure, that, you know, you're supposed to be able to stand up for what's right, and not give in to peer pressure. V'teichom in o'eitz, and you ate from the tree, asher tzivisicho lemur, that I commanded you, you were the one that was commanded, not to eat from it, and you are the one that was commanded not to eat from it, and you ate it. So therefore, he says like this: Arura ho'adama bavurecha, the earth, the land, will be cursed because of you. Bitzavin techaleno, you are going to eat through suffering. Shall you eat from the food of the ground? Kol yemeichayecha, all the days of your life. So now the question over here is like this. We find an interesting thing. The snake was cursed. He says, Hashem told off the snake, he says to the snake, he says, Arur ata mikol abeima, you are cursed from all animals. The ground, Hashem said, Arur o adama bavarecha, I'm cursing the ground because of you. But Adam and Chava, he didn't curse. It's interesting. People, God did not curse. Because when God made people, He blessed them. Remember before when Adam and Chava were created, Hashem blessed them and said, be fruitful, be multiply, you know, take over the world, conquer the world, and take it over.
Suffering and childbearing isn't a curse?
But the Torah doesn't use the word cursed. The Torah says, I'm punishing you. What's the punishment this? But by the earth and by the snake, God uses the word arur, Hashem is actually cursing them. And another thing, the Ohr HaChaim explains over here, when Hashem says that, why did you listen to the voice of your wife? The Ohr HaChaim explains, what was Hashem upset about? Somebody tells you to do something, check it out first. Check it out if you should be doing it or you shouldn't be doing it. So that's what you need to do. It's already. Okay, so the land is cursed. Now, the question is, what did the earth do over here? Why is Hashem cursing the earth? So the commentators explain a number of reasons. Number one, he says, what is the curse of the earth? Number one, in addition to producing food to eat, is going to produce thorns and bad things. In addition to that, it's going to create flies, fleas, and ants also on the ground. It's going to yield, the harvest is going to be tiny in comparison to what it would have yielded if the earth didn't sin. Now, there's a case before we learned in the Chumash, the earth taka sinned. There was a sin of the earth. What was the sin that the earth itself did, the land, the ground did? When Hashem said, Eitz pri, eitz pri. God said the earth should sprout out vegetation and trees. And the Torah uses the expression eitz, eitz pri, meaning what Rashi explains before in the Medrash says, God wanted that the bark, the trunk of the tree, should taste like the fruit. The earth did not listen, and we'll explain in a second what that means. The earth did not listen. And the earth did not produce that the trunk of the tree tastes like the fruit. It doesn't, right? The fruit tastes one way, and the trunk you can't even eat. So because the earth didn't listen, God wanted to curse it, but he didn't curse it yet. He cursed it then. He didn't curse it then. He curses it now. Okay? Now, that's number one. Number two, and we'll discuss this in a second. The earth was created because the earth was cursed. Because the earth was created for the benefit of man. Man messed up, the earth is cursed. There's a similar din, an interesting law. If an axe kills a person, an axe gores a person, it says, Gama Shor Yisokel. The Torah later says, you stone the axe. So the Gemara asked the question, the axe doesn't have free will. What did the axe do wrong? It's not that the axe has free will, and therefore he knows exactly what he's doing. It runs an instinct. When one animal kills another animal for prey, like a lion rips apart another animal to eat, you don't punish the lion. So as far as the axe is concerned, why in the world does the Torah punish the axe for killing a person? The axe doesn't have free choice. And the Gemara says an interesting statement. The fact that something bad happened to a person because of the axe deserves to die. Because the earth did something bad to a person, in other words, it was created for mankind, so therefore the earth has to be punished. Another thing is, the earth, where did Adam Rishon come from? Adama, from the ground, right? Now, it says, when the child sins, okay, it says, a mother is cursed when her children sin. Later on in Chumash, a very interesting thing. It speaks about Sarah's death. It speaks about Rachel's death. The Torah doesn't mention at all Rivka's death. It alludes to it, but it doesn't mention Rivka's death. And the Gemara says why, and Rashi brings this down. Why didn't the Torah speak about Rivka's death? Because the world hated Esav, who is Rivka's child, so much. They curse the mother. You know when a kid is bad, you curse the parents for creating such a creature? So because mankind comes from the earth, so the earth was cursed because the child, the offshoot, the person, mankind sinned, so the earth as the mother was cursed because of it. Another thing it says, in Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, it says, why was the earth punished for man's sin? What did the earth do? The earth should have screamed out, don't do it. The Medrash says, this sounds funny, but the Medrash says that when Mashiach comes, Evan, there's a pasuk that says, Evan Mikir Yazik, a stone will scream out from the wall. What does it mean a stone will scream out from the wall? The Medrash says, when Mashiach comes, if somebody's going to want to take off a fruit from the tree on Shabbos, the tree or the stone, whatever it is going to scream out, Shabbos, Shabbos, don't do it. So the fact that the earth here didn't scream out, don't do it, so the earth is to blame for the fact that Adam Rishon and Chava ate from the tree. Okay, that's the why the earth was, okay. But here we see another interesting thing. Why was earth punished for all time? Why was snakes punished for all times? Women are punished for all times. Men are punished for all times. Okay, you know, maybe a few generations. But for thousands of generations later, because this guy did something wrong, and Mrs. Guy did something wrong, and the snake did something wrong, the earth did something wrong, because of that we have to suffer forever. So there's a lot of different answers on it. Number one, anything we do, like we were saying last week, the butterfly, but the truth is, anything we do, we need to keep in mind, affects the entire world to the end of all time. Whatever we do is not a personal thing that I'm doing for myself. It affects the whole world. And not only does it affect the whole world, it affects the whole world for all times. That's number one. Secondly, and this is a deeper concept. I mean, not deeper, but when Adam Rishon sinned, he brought such chaos into the world, such commotion into the world, such evil into the world, it took until the end of time to rectify what he did. He made a mess of the world. He was the only person in the world. Him and Chava were the only people in the world. They did this terrible thing that actually, like we learned, brought evil into the world. And that evil in the world will take until the end of all time to be able to cure it, to be able to heal it. Which is, explains another thing. Initially, death was not supposed to be decreed in the world. There was not supposed to be death. Hashem said to Adam, if you eat from the tree, the day you eat from the tree, you're going to die. But without that, there was supposed to be eternity of life just in the life of Adam and Eve. So the Mefarshim bring down, the Chassidus says a lot discussed on this, there's a whole Maimon from the Rebbe about this. Why did God decree evil, death into the world? Because death ends evil. Good is a cumulative. Evil, in order to get rid of evil, there's a concept of death. Meaning, Adam Rishon created this concept of evil now in the world. If he would have lived forever, that evil would have continued with him forever. And therefore, when did death come into the world? After they sinned. That's when God said, you're going to die. Why? Because death, the reason why Hashem made death in the world, to end the concept of evil. Good is accumulative. That means, just to say the way it is. According to Kabbalah, according to Chassidus, there's a concept of reincarnation of the souls. Okay? There's the reincarnation of the souls. The souls come back and back and back again. When every person does good and bad. Now we know, right? Every person does good and does bad. How do we get rid of the bad on our soul? Either you repent and get rid of it, or when a person passes away, death is the cleansing of the soul from all the evil it did in this world. Good, on the other hand, is accumulative. What your soul came down, let's say, a bunch of times in reincarnation, if your soul came down once and did good, your soul comes down another time, it's clean because of the evil was cleansed through death and hell and Gehenna and all that stuff. But the good that you did on the soul, that's accumulative. And that's why, one thing. And therefore, we learned many times what it says in the Agada of Pesach, the famous thing, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, I'm a man of 70, like a man of 70. He was 18 years old. Okay? To make a long story short, they appointed him the head of the Jewish community. And his wife said to him, you're an 18-year-old kid. Who is going to respect you? He barely had a beard, you know what I mean? You need a long white beard to get respect. Even that doesn't work. Years ago, it used to work. He used to respect a long white beard. But then he had a little tear. So what happened? God made a miracle. Overnight, he turned white and he looked like a man of 70. That's simply what he says. I am a man, I'm like a man of 70. So the question is, why did he pick the number 70? He was 18. He could have picked 65, 75. He could have picked Medicaid, 65. Why in the world is he picking, that stuff? So the Arizal writes in Kabbalah, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the reincarnation of the neshama of the prophet Shmuel. And Shmuel died at 52. And he was 18. So therefore he said, I am like a man of 70, because his soul, the good is accumulative, so he had like a 70-year-old person. The evil gets cleansed. And that's why, Hashem, we're going to learn that the whole concept of death came about, in a few psukim, God's going to say, you're going to die. That's to cleanse the evil that he did. But the sin that Adam Rishon did with Chava was so bad, it takes the entire history of the world, for 5,779 years that we're going into now, to rectify that evil that was done. That's how bad it was. What?
Hashem speaks and creates.
Correct.
Hashem creates death. It's a creation. Death is a creation?
Death is a creation.
Everything was created on the first day and then put into place after the first day. So?
He did. You know, there's a very interesting Rabbeinu Bachaya. Or Bachia, some people call it Rabbeinu Bachaya, Bachia. The beginning of Chumash. He says a one-liner, which is very unique. Hatinik miyad shenelad maschilis yabish. Simply, translitterally means, a baby, as soon as the born, begin to dry up. Meaning, as soon as they're born, they begin the dying process.
Actually?
One second. Why? Because the day you're born, right, you are born with 120 years of life in you. When you're a day old, you only have 119, 364 days of life left. So you're actually beginning the dying process. Correct? Now, Hashem created, death is not something evil God created. Evil is created. Death is an offshoot. There is a concept of death. On the first day, Hashem told Adam and Eve, the day you eat from it, you'll die. Okay? But the concept exists. But to put it into practicality by saying, Adam, you're going to die, that came about through Adam's actions. In other words, what is this teaching us? People shouldn't think that what I do doesn't matter. What I do matters. Not only Black Lives Matters. In Yiddishka, every action we do matters, whether it's good or bad. If bad matters, the Gemara says good is 500 times better than bad. If everything we do in bad matters, everything we do in good definitely matters. And we shouldn't think, who am I? I'm one person out of 7 billion or whatever. I'm worthless. The world began with one person. Okay? And what that one person did, one tiny act. What did he do already? He ate from a fruit. Big deal. Okay? But that one tiny action of, we do worse things than eating fruit that we shouldn't. Okay? We do a lot worse things. And yet, that one action was so powerful and so bad that it had a permanent effect until the end of time. On him personally, through his death, he was done with it. But as far as the rest of the world, because he was the father of all creation, it affects the world until the coming of Mashiach. Now, the truth of the matter, one second. The truth of the matter is, this concept of sin stopped when Hashem gave the Torah. We have learned in the past. The Medrash says, the Zohar says, by Matan Torah, when Hashem gave the Torah, Paska Zu Hamasan, the evil, the impurity ceased to be. Meaning, as Kabbalah explains, the evil that Adam and Eve brought on the world ceased when God gave the Torah. The problem is, you know, the way God works in funny ways. When the Jews made the golden calf, they reenacted the sin of the tree. You know, Matan Torah got rid of it, and they leave it to the Jews. They reenacted the Eitz Hadas sin, the original sin, and therefore it came back the same thing.
Actually, just the men did it.
Only the men. The women are perfect. Yeah, we know that. The women are perfect. They're so perfect that you can't even describe how perfect they are. Yeah, that we know. But the bottom line is, she was the one who got them to sin. Yeah.
I know you answered it, Rabbi, but I was thinking, as you were saying, also about the sin of the golden calf, that it seems, at least as a human being, like it's much worse. I know you were saying everything counts, but there's a lot of other things that also seem much, quote-unquote, worse.
The golden calf affected the world or only the Jews?
Oh, the Jews?
Okay. What other Mauritian did affects?
Everyone.
Everybody. Mankind, animals, ground, everybody got into the picture. So what's worse? The first time it happens is the first time. But you understand, because he was the formation of God's hands, he wasn't born, he didn't have a mother-in-law. He had, God himself made him, and that's the story. And therefore he was, carried the burden of the entire world. But, what Torah teaches us, and it's very important for us to know, that whatever I do, you do, he does, she does, any tiny action will affect the world just like his sin did.
Rabbi?
What?
Is it, I think I'm going to ask this, but is there anything written that because he didn't have parents that could teach him the right way, that he also...
I mean, he didn't go to school, you mean?
I mean, you could also say he didn't have parents to teach him the right way.
He had a good parent. It was called God.
Yeah, I was in, sorry.
I don't know who his mother was, but his father was definitely God.
How much time was he studying Torah?
Adam and Eve learned Torah. What do you think he did all day?
An hour? 2 hours?
I don't know what he did.
He said he sinned 3 hours later.
So. He sinned 3 hours. Listen, that day he got married, had kids. I mean, he was a busy guy that day.
Named the animals.
He was a busy guy. Okay.
When
was the effect of his Avera bigger because he was basically half of the population of the world? Because, like, let's say I do an Avera Chas V'Shalom, I'm only 1/7 millionth of the world.
7 billionth.
7 billionth of the world. So would my Avera be less,
No, it's not less severe. No, no, it's not less effective. It will still have an effect.
So it doesn't matter that he was like 50% of the population.
No, it's because he was God's formation. God created him for a purpose. He didn't do what God told him to do. And that was, he was given one mitzvah. I mean, 6 eventually, but he was given one mitzvah for 3 hours and he blew it. But what we need to learn from, you know what? Okay, it happened. Who cares that it happened? So he sinned. Very nice. Okay, it's a good history book. What does this have to... Torah is not the history book. Torah is teaching us how to live. Torah is teaching us a person should never realize and think for a second that what I do doesn't matter. You know, I told many times, there's a story. A kid was trying... People were on a boat. There was a little kid on the boat. He got bored. You know, kids get bored. See, what did he do? So he took out his knife. He had a pocket knife. And he started making a hole under a seat. Okay, in the boat. So the people said to him, you nut job, what are you doing? You're going to drown it. He said, mind your own business. It's my seat. I paid for my seat. I could do under my seat whatever I want to do. Okay, so obviously, what's the point over here? Yeah, it might be under your seat, but you're going to drown all of us. Right? You're going to kill all of us, God forbid. So you can't say, it's my life, my body. You know, in Torah, I don't want to get into this now. But the whole abortion issue, the whole body rights issue. According to Torah, we don't own our bodies. Our bodies, we're loaners. Not L-O-A-N. We're on loan. Not L-O-N. L-O-A-N. Our bodies are loaned to us for 120 years, and we have to take care of a body, and we have to take a... It's not my body. We are not individuals. We are responsible for everybody. And therefore, what we need to think... When we're about to do something good, we should know, and therefore do it with excitement, that we're going to affect the whole world to good. And when we do bad, God forbid, we're going to affect the whole world to bad.
I think the movements that you're referring to, what they're mostly against is they're against men who have no.
Not true.
No, they're against men.
They're against people telling me what to do.
I'm sorry.
It's my body. Listen, it's my body. I could do with my body what I want. You know, you think in halacha, we don't own our bodies. Do you know, according to halacha, you can't damage your body and say it's my body. I can cut myself and beat myself and kill myself. We're not allowed to. It's not my body.
That's not what the movement is about, though.
Yeah, that's. Okay, let's not discuss that. Okay, it's not going to.
One question.
What?
When it says you are dust and to dust shall you return, is that Hashem saying?
We didn't get there yet. 1 second.
Okay.
We're going to get this in. Okay. The kite, kapatsi jutches. The kite, the dar dar. sentence 18. The kites without the thorns and thistles shall be, it's sprout for you. I mean, the earth is going to give out all these terrible things. And and you're going to eat the herbs of the fields. Meaning, it's going to be, not only will food come out, not edibles will come out, and it's going to make a mess of everything else. You're going to have to come and plant. You're going to have to plow. You're going to have to work all the days, as like the Radak said. What do you mean, koyim echayacha? As long as humanity is alive, it's going to be affected by the sin of Adam Rishon. Okay, b'zeis apecha. This is a famous expression every, even the non-Jews use. B'zeis apecha, with the sweat of your brow, you eat bread. Okay. In fact, the Radak has one more point over here, and he says you're going to have to eat grass. Okay, you're going to have to eat grass rather than the fruits. Like this were only luxuries. Like this, now you're going to have to eat herbs and wheat. Not only that, before the Eitz Hadas, before the sin, the wheat was ready to eat food. Like the fruits. Now you have to take the wheat and you have to grind it and, you know, this and that, make it into bread and bake it. It's a whole hassle. And before you were able to have it. Okay, okay, this is what you were saying. Until you go back to the ground, ki mimeno lakachta, because that's where you were from, ki ofer ata velofer toshiv. You are dust, and you shall dust return to dust. Okay? By the way, this is a very interesting point. This pasuk is a very interesting point in halacha. One of the reasons why cremation is forbidden, by the way, it's forbidden for non-Jews also, but not as strict as it is for Jews. Cremation is forbidden for a Jew because the Torah says, besides the fact that the concept of resurrection of the dead is from the loose bone, which is the bone in the body that God is going to resurrect the dead from, besides that, there's a concept in Torah, in Jewish law, that God says to man, you originate from dirt, and you're going to go back to dirt. You originate from dust, you go back to dust. Which means, we're not allowed to burn ourselves, we need to be buried in the ground. That's what God says to Adam Rishon, that is what it's all about. You go back, as he's saying in English, you go back to where you came from. We come from dirt, we go back to dirt. And it says, interesting thing, the Baal Shem Tov, tomorrow night's his birthday. The Baal Shem Tov said, that, you know, Eliyahu Navi didn't die, Eliyahu Navi went up to heaven. The prophet Elijah went up to heaven. So the Baal Shem Tov said he could have also done it, but there's a greater thing of being dirt and going back to the dirt. And therefore, logically, you have to bury right away, because it's, in fact, it's an interesting thing. People should know this. You shouldn't know of it, but if you have to know of it, you should know that the soul of the person who dies does not come to rest until the body is buried in the ground. It's all about this pasuk. You're dust, you return to dust. The soul of a deceased person has no rest until the person is buried in the ground. And therefore, halachically, you're supposed to bury right away. And therefore, in, like in Israel, many places, not in California, they'll do funerals at night. Somebody dies, they just bury them at night. Doesn't matter.
My dad's funerals at night.
Huh?
My dad's funerals.
Yeah, that's what they do. In Israel and many places in New York, they do it.
I heard in Judaism, we're supposed to wear white at funerals, not black.
Who, oh, the person that's dead or the living people? The dead person for sure wears shrouds. The reason why they wear shrouds, by the way, we just learned about this in the Mishnah. The concept of the white shrouds that people wear when they're buried, yeah, we should know of it, but that was instituted by Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel, because in those days, rich people were buried in wealthy clothing, expensive clothing, and the beggars had were buried in nothing. And Gamliel said, everybody is equal, especially in death, everybody's equal. And in fact, he was the leader of the Jewish people. He said that when he dies, he wants to be buried in white shrouds, you know, white linen shrouds. No matter who the person is, everybody is buried equally. I mentioned recently also, my father used to say, that life is like a chessboard. You know, a game of chess. Different people, different parts, rooks, pawns, knights, you know, bishops, castles. But once you're in the box, they're all the same. There's no king, there's no queen, there's no bishop, there's no rook. On the board, in life, everybody is, this guy's a bigger, rich, poor, macher, big macher, small macher, nobody is somebody. When we're dead, we're all the same. And that's what the Torah says. Offer atav al offer toshuv.
Is that Hashem saying you've lost eternity and you're going to go back to the ground? You've lost.
That's exactly what the Sipurna, I was mamish going to say this now. The Sipurna says, this is what Hashem told him. Because you ate from the tree, you became a human. And if you became a human that came from dirt, you go back to dirt. You lost the power of holiness, of eternity, of supernatural that you were supposed to be. So, you know, so just to look at it again. Eating that lousy fruit, right? He became human instead of superhuman. He, all the terrible things, this one little tiny thing that he ate, the Ribbono Shel Olam, I mean, it's pretty bad. And affecting for all times. Okay. This is what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted him to sin. And Hashem wanted his whole life. If not, between me and you, life would be very boring. If everybody was the goody-goodies from other Mirishanan, come on, no excitement. What?
How did all these different cultures and like different ethnicities became about?
That's later after the flood when they built the tower to go up to fight God. That's when God spread them out into 70 nations, 70 different, not only languages, 70 nations, 70 everything. That started way after the flood. Right now, even at the time of the flood, the Torah says, everybody spoke one language, which was Hebrew, that God created the world with. Everybody, it was all the same.
And Noah is for everybody, right?
What?
Noah is for all the religious.
I didn't know it.
Noah.
All the religious.
Noach.
Knows Noah.
Yeah, yeah, they all came from Noah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, from Adam, but, yeah, but, what?
So you said last time, so it wasn't just the piece of fruit, but also that they didn't take responsibility, the other particular
one, right.
What he did.
So again, it's not the fruit. It's not the little fruit. Yeah. It's what he did and what the action that he did had this tremendous effect, both on him and on the world at large.
But I felt like that was the worst part, that he didn't take responsibility.
That's, yeah, but it's all part of the same crime.
Okay.
Okay. You're dust, and therefore you have to go back to dust. Okay. Okay, so he says like this. Vayikra Adam called Shem Ishtai Chava. He called it, now he gave her the name Chava. Why? Ki hi haisa em kol chai. Because she was the mother of all the living. Okay? Meaning, just he named all the creatures, like we learned, right? All the animals he named. So now he named his wife. Instead of calling her Isha, which is the general term of women, he gave her a particular name of Chava, because she was the mother of all living. Now, why didn't he call her Chaya? You think about it. If she was the Em Kol Choy, she should have been called Chaya. Why did he name her Chava? So it says, in Kabbalah it says, because Chava, in Aramaic, Chivya, means a snake. In Aramaic, the word Chivya means a snake. So by giving her the name Chava, because of what happened to the world because of it, he alluded in the name of Chava, the concept of the snake, that it was still affected by the snake. Okay, other people say, okay, one more important thing that we need to mention over here is also, If you remember, Adam Rishon was a day old, right? God is already telling him that in 930 years from now, or really 1,000 years from now, you're going to die. Why is God telling it to him today? You can imagine you tell a newborn baby, hi kid, welcome to the club. Guess what? In 120 years, you're going to die. I mean, why would you do that?
Let him know how severe it was.
Number one, how severe it is. But you know what they say? A person should live every day of his life or her life as if it's their last day. If you're told, no, think about it, it's remarkable. If you're told, chas v'shalom, but let's say, okay, you're 120 years old, and God says to you, by the way, you have one day to go. Okay? So by the way, they asked, and it's not even worth mentioning, but Madonna was asked once, what would you do if you, it's a true story many years ago, Madonna was asked many years ago, what would you do if you're told you have one day to live? So she said, I would eat potato chips and watch reruns of movies. That's what this brilliant person said. A religious Jew, if they're told you have one day to live, so what would you do? You'd repent. You know, no, like they say, nobody on their deathbed, people need to think these things, nobody on their deathbed ever regretted that they didn't make more money. Nobody on the deathbed says, oh, I should have made more money. I should have had a better car. I should have had a better house. What do people think on their deathbed when there's no monkey business anymore? Oh, you should have spent more time with family. I should have been a better person. I should have done. That's what it's all about. So the commentators explain, Hashem's telling Adam Rishon now, just remember, because of what you did, for the rest of your life, you're going to have to live like it's the last day of your life. Okay, he told him exactly when he's going to die. There's a famous story with David HaMelech. That's why, by the way, Adam Rishon only lived 930 years instead of 1,000. Adam Rishon was supposed to live 1,000 years. But Hashem came to Adam and said, there's a Bar Nafla. There's going to be a great person who's going to be stillborn. Would you like to donate life? So Adam Rishon quoted the Pasuk in Tillim that we say Shabbos and Davening. Yemeshen Yisenu Bahem Shivim Shana, the life of 70 years, right? So Adam Rishon said, I'm donating to him the 70 years. That was David HaMelech. Hashem said to him, David HaMelech was supposed to be born, stillborn. Would you like to donate life? So Adam Rishon gave him 70 years. Other places it says Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov gave the 70 years, but that's a whole issue in Chassidus and Kabbalah. But Adam Rishon donated 70 years of his life, and therefore David HaMelech died at 70, like it says in the Pasuk, and Adam Rishon died at 930. But Adam Rishon, okay, was told how long he's going to be able to live. Oh, what did I want to say? David HaMelech, as a typical nice Jew, wanted to know when he's dying. He said to God, let me know. I want to know when I'm going to die. God answered him, that is one secret nobody is told. So David HaMelech, King David said to God, okay, do me a favor. Tell me which day of the week I'm going to die. Hashem said, that I'll tell you, you're going to die on Shabbat. Shabbos, you're going to die on Shabbos. So from that time on, David HaMelech learned 24/7. On that 24 hours straight, 24/1 on Shabbos, because if you learn Torah, the angel of death can't get you. So how did it came in time? So there was a wind. He went out and something did this, and the stair collapsed, and he forgot, he stopped learning for a second, and he got him. Okay, but people, because we don't know, tell a story. A guy comes on the bus. He says, "Can you tell me where this and this stop is?" So the guy says, yeah, get off one stop before me. He says, how are you supposed to know? Get off one stop before me. So it says, because we don't know when we're going to die, every person should live their life like it's the last day of their life. It's hard, by the way. Trust me, it's really hard to live every day of our life as if it's our last. But that's really how a person is supposed to live, to utilize time to the fullest. So Hashem, the commentators explain, Hashem said to him, listen, you're going to die, so you have X amount of time to live. And every day should be, we don't live forever. And that's the concept of what we spoke many times. Death is not so much for the deceased. For the deceased, they go to Gan Eden, they're going to higher places, they're much more spiritual. The concept of death is for the people that remain alive, the family that remains alive, to think, to realize, you know what? We don't live forever, obviously. Look, my relative just passed away, and they didn't live forever. So therefore, I'm not going to live forever either, and I better shape up. As we say, shape up before you ship out. You need to behave and get things going. Okay. So Adam called his wife Chava Kihi Yaisa Ein Kochai because she was the mother of all living things. Even though the commentators explain a lot of women gave birth to children, but she was the first. As we'll soon learn, she gave birth to children. Okay. Vayas Hashem Elokim, okay, Hashem made for Adam and his wife, Kosnas Erd, okay, Kosnas Erd means garments of skin, we'll soon see what that means, Vayal Bishem, and he dressed them, okay? By the way, the Gemara says, the Torah begins with kindness and ends with kindness. The Torah begins with kindness. God gave Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava clothing to wear. The Torah ends with the death of Moshe. God buried him. So the Torah begins with acts of kindness and ends with the acts of kindness. Now what does kosnas art? Now you have to understand. What? They were wearing fig leaves until now. Right? They were wearing fig leaves because they realized they were naked and, okay, that's what they had. So that was pretty uncomfortable. I mean, just think about it. This must have been uncomfortable. So God said, and here's another interesting thing. God could have said to them, listen, that you're, realize you're naked and all that, no clothing is your problem. Like they say in Yiddish, haksach kappen van, break your own head and figure out what to do. What did God do? After they sinned, and he screamed at them, so to speak, he read them the rights. Right away God says, I'm taking care of you. He gave them clothing to wear. He fed them. Well, again, somebody does something wrong, yes, they have to be admonished. There has to be a punishment. But afterwards, as the Medrash says, God had compassion upon them and clothed them right away, even though they actually sinned terribly. Now, what were these clothing? Rashi says, Rashi quotes different opinions. One opinion says, garments connected to the skin. Actually, tightly fitted garments. Some people say they were smooth like fingernails. Okay? And other people mean, kosnas ur means, skin, like leather.
Like animal skin.
Animal skin. And in fact, in Medrash it says, Pirkei Avot it says, remember we learned that the snake, one of the punishments was that he had to shed his skin? God dressed Adam and Chava, according to the Medrash, were made from the skin that the serpents loved off, that he lost, God made it to them. It says, don't wonder how God was able to make him garments because, listen, God did greater wonders. But these garments, the Medrash says a very interesting thing with them. These garments were unique that they had the pictures of all animals on them. That was a pretty good artist also. I don't think he had a cell phone to take a picture and then put it on the... God painted, says, embroidered with pictures of all the animals and birds. Okay? When Adam and Chava wore them, they had dominion over all the animals and were invisible. Okay, so nobody started up with them. because they saw, they're invisible, basically. They were handed down from generation to generation to Mr. Shalach. Eventually, Noach, this is what the Medrash says, took him into the ark, to the Teva, by the flood. Chom, right, the bad son of Noach, stole the garments, gave it to his son Cush, who hid it until finally he gave it to his son Nimrod. Nimrod, what, the hunter? Okay. Nimrod was the super hunter because he wore those clothes. And when animals saw pictures of animals, all the animals came to him. So he had an easy time hunting because all the animals came to him. So he was able to hunt them. What happened? What Esav, remember the day Esav came back from the field, the day Avram died, Esav came back from the field. He was all tired. And Rashi says he killed Nimrod. When Esav killed Nimrod, he took the garments and hid them by his mother Rivka. And those were the garments that Yaakov put on to go to Yitzchak to get the bracha. So according to the Medrash, it's a whole... And afterwards, he says, then they were concealed and nobody knows where they are. So these were amazing garments.
That's why it doesn't talk about her death, because we would have known where the clothes are.
Oh, Chava? No, they were... Nobody knows. They just became concealed after. Many Torah things became concealed after the time they weren't needed. And that's it. I don't know, I guess so.
Interesting, because right after the punishment, it shows how he forgives.
Hashem forgives right away. When he says, Hashem clothed them to demonstrate that the world by himself, knowing good and bad, meaning free will is bestowed upon every man, you could do good, you could do bad, you have the unique thing, and if this case, the world, there's a passage that says, Ha'olam nosan b'libay. The heart, the world is put into the heart of man. People can control the heart, the world. Look, what action we do affects the whole world, positive, negative. What happened over here was the fact that God clothed them right away shows again how people are supposed to behave. The guy did a terrible thing. Can you imagine? Let's take an analogy. A guy builds a beautiful palace and this guy comes and bashes the whole place. Bashes the whole place. Yeah? So what did he do? He screamed at him. And then he said, come, let me take care of you. The Rebbe spoke. It's interesting. One time, the Rebbe started a campaign. It's called the Aleph Institute. It became called the Aleph Institute. That deals with Jewish prisoners, Jews that are down and out. You know, Chabad goes to them. There's a whole institution called Aleph Institute that deals with Jewish inmates. Because the Rebbe said, yes, they did something wrong. They did something wrong. But does that mean, therefore, you give up hope on them? They're helpless and hopeless and everything. You don't. You never give up hope on a person. They're incarcerated, even though Torah doesn't believe in incarceration for a lot of reasons. But they're still human beings. They still need to be treated with dignity. Yes, they did something wrong. Everybody does something wrong. And they have to be punished for what they did wrong. But that doesn't make them subhuman. And they need to be taken care of. Their needs, especially the spiritual needs, needs to be taken care of. And that's what Hashem is teaching us over here. The guy sinned. Adam and Chava sinned. Yes, he told them off and he said, this is the outcome of your, this is the reaction to your action. But at the same time, God says, listen, I'm going to give it to you. Okay, we'll leave it here. Kibbutz Hashem, next week will be a class and then that's it until after Sukkot.